All right. Our Torah portion is from Leviticus 16:1 through 20:27. It's two portions put together. The first few words in Hebrew, Vadabar Yahweh El Moshe Acharei Mot, which would come out as Elohim spoke to Moses after the death of Aaron's two sons. Now you're like, why would he bring this up this far from when it really happened? Okay, why? Because Yahweh is a teacher. And if you're a teacher, you know there are certain things that are called teachable moments. Something happens, and instead of you going to your child and saying, that was bad, stop, because that's not teaching them. That's disciplining them. You pull the child aside and say, listen, let's talk about that situation. The rights, the wrongs, the whys, the hows. And now that they know, what's going to happen next time? That's teaching. So if they do it next time, they knew, they understand. You eliminate that. This is a teachable moment, and it's an important one. Turn me to Leviticus chapter 16. We're going to go through verses 1 through 10. I'm going to start with verse 1. Now Yahweh spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, because they had offered profane fire before Yahweh and died. And Yahweh said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come just at any time to the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. And Aaron shall come into the holy place, meaning when he comes, with blood of a young bull as a sin offering, and ram as a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen tunic and linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with linen sash and with a linen turban. He shall be attired. These are the holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. He shall take them from the congregation of the children of Israel, two kids of the goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, to make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take two goats and present them to Yahweh at the door of the tabernacle meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for Yahweh and the other for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which Yahweh's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be a scapegoat shall be presented alive before Yahweh to make atonement upon it. Let it go as a scapegoat into the wilderness. Now, there's a lot of things here. We see the death of the two sons. That's the foundation of this. He speaks of a profane fire, a fire that was not asked for. Many people believe this is in regard to like they put different stuff in it. No, they didn't. He never asked for fire, and we'll get to that later. Just don't come before me. And this doesn't mean specifically that we're only going to come like in regard to, well, I can't just go pray to him all the time. No, this is not that. This means to come intimately into like the closest place where like here is the veil, the cloud. Yahweh is in the cloud and you are coming to the presence of Yahweh. You don't just come. And we'll see that in a moment. I appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. He is in the cloud. The cloud is a veil, to some degree, of Yahweh. He even speaks of the clouds of the sky being a veil to the heavens. Come with a bull, two goats, and a ram. He needed to wash his body to put on these holy garments. So he first had a wash, and he put on these holy garments that were as a covering. Notice the whole thing here was to make a covering or atonement. Make coverings for his household, then covering for Israel. And the word covering there would be atonement for. So he had to make first atonement for him and his house. his family, and then he would do so for all of Israel. What are we to learn from Nadab and Abihu? And there are many lessons, but there's a specific lesson here that I think is lost in all the details. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19. All of this has happened before now. So all of what I'm going to read are little teachable moments that Yahweh has pulled them aside and said, listen, I'm going to share with you this truth so you know. So if anything happens, you know what's going to happen because of it. So Exodus 19, verses 5 through 6. Now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my treasure, you should keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. You are to be a kingdom of priests. The earth is mine, but you are a special treasure in it. Exodus 19, verse 10 through 13. Then Yahweh said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today. Listen, see if it sounds familiar. And tomorrow let them wash their clothes. Let them be ready for the third day. Then the third day, Yahweh shall come down from Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. They shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves, do not go up on the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but they shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow, whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. So they're going to wash their clothes, they're going to prepare themselves, but even then, they can't come up on the mountain where there's a smoke pillaring a pillar of which Yahweh is a fire in it. You can't come until he calls with a trumpet blast. 21 to 23, same chapter. Listen to this. And Yahweh said to Moses, go down and warn the people. This is a second warning, lest they break through to gaze at Yahweh, and many of them perish. Also, let the priests who come near Yahweh consecrate themselves, lest Yahweh break out against them. So he sets these bounds, and he says, you can't come up. I can go even further and tell you that Moses went to there, Nadab and Abihu went up on a mountain, had a wonderful meal, saw the some regard of the presence of Yahweh, but Moses was called higher. Then he had to wait 7 days at the cloud until Yahweh called him into the cloud. Notice that Yahweh has complete control in the entire process of drawing someone closer. Not us. Exodus 40, 34 through 35. I just have a number of verses for us to look up here. And the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. This is the end of Exodus. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle. This is the same moment soon after that Nadab and Abihu are going to just go walking up. Moses knows you don't just come approaching Yahweh. But what's interesting is they came with incense. Why? So Moses said to Aaron, take a censer, this is incense, put fire in it from the altar, put incense on it, and take it quickly to the congregation and make a covering for them, for wrath has gone out from Yahweh. This is when, by the way, there was a great rebellion, and they're always wondering, well, I'm holy, like they're equal with Yahweh, no big deal. This is, of course, a Korach's rebellion. And he said, all right, you know what? You guys all go hold incense censers, just like Nadab and Abihu did. You go out here and hold them, and Yahweh's going to show who's holy. And guess what happens? Fire comes out again and destroys them. Interesting. Yahweh's the same. He doesn't change. But the point being is after that, the people started grumbling against Yahweh, and a plague came. And here's what happens. Yahweh says, tells Moses to get Aaron, get the censer, and run. And this verse leads into a very important one. Numbers 16:48. And he stood between the dead and the living, so the plague was stopped. This incense has something to do with a transition or in regard to stopping judgment, providing a covering. Luke chapter 1 says, according to the customs of the priesthood, this is John's father, his lot fell to burn the incense when he went into the temple of Yahweh, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Many times, traditionally and scripturally, as we see, there would be prayers that would be offered as the incense went up. And people would equate incense, like prayers, a beautiful smell going up to Yahweh. Incense was a beautiful smell. It was something you could actually know was going on and know that that was actually rising to the heavens. It's also spoken in Revelation 8:4, and this is an angel, and the smoke of the incense of the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. So this idea of incense and being prayers is sort of the idea of intercession. I'm going in for intercession for the people. So what's the goal of the incense and sacrifices? Because there has to be a goal, leading in regard to Nadab and Abihu. What is the goal of drawing close to Yahweh? Like, give me the, what are we focusing in on? You know, I understand we're going to be walking. I know we're going through the desert. But notice the minute he took him out, he says, I'm taking you to the promised land. He gave them a goal. I'm not just going to have, you will, you know, wander, but you know the goal you're going to. I wanted to bring this up. Now, you might say, well, how does this have to do anything? I wanted you to see the size of a young bull to the size of a goat. Okay? And I wanted you to realize, let's just do an example. Let's say for now, because I'm the high priest, and this is my family up here. That big thing is for me. That is for all Israel. Now, I think about it in this way. Can I see it for a second? Jean was helping me out today. I was going to actually have this as one of my slides. I didn't have time. And then she goes, you know what? It's the first week I'm going to be bringing this. So, hey, it worked out. It was a connection from Yahweh. I think the issue is, as you become a priest, and as you are supposed to be in between Yahweh and his people, an intercessor, Yahweh looks at your life with a magnifying glass. Because changes aren't just big changes. Sometimes changes are microscopic that need to be changed. And you are more accountable the closer you come to him. Far more accountable. Nadab and Abihu started walking towards them. They were destroyed. All of the rebellion stood out there with the censers for a time before the fire came out. Difference. My point being is Yahweh uses the magnifying glass on us as his children. But as I sat looking at this, I said, you know what? This is interesting. There's a proportional, a ratio, something big for us. Something small over here for the people we're ministering to. Again, so I started going, something large for us. And notice the priest, his whole goal was to make atonement for who? Israel. But he had to first do what? Make atonement for him. And you want to talk about, you had to be humble. Because you're bringing this big, oh, this is for me, guys. And the people in the crowd going, how did he sin this year? My gosh. Again, before the people. But I kept going, there's a ratio here. You're trying to care for someone else. You're trying to care for someone else. You're trying to lead someone else. And there's a big ratio compared to a small ratio. And I was like, and then this scriptural bomb went off in my head. This was the scriptural bomb. Throw me to Luke. Luke chapter 6, starting with verse 39. Now, I want to clarify. The goal of the priest going in is to make atonement for the people, to be a good leader, to be an example for the people. To do so, he has to go through processes. He has to wash himself. He has to put on clean, holy garments. And then he has to offer this huge animal for atonement, for sacrifice for his own life first. Listen to what Yeshua is teaching. See if it seems familiar. He spoke this parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall in a ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher. But everyone who is perfectly trained or completely trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye. You'll see clearly enough to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now here's my point. The high priest had to go in first to cleanse himself. If he didn't cleanse himself, he can make no atonement for the rest of the people. He can be no leader, he can be no teacher, he can be no example for the people. Unless he first prepares his body, his spirit, and his mind. And only then can he then go and say, "You know what? I have now made a covering for myself. Good. But guess what? It wasn't for you. Now you're going back with the whole purpose of making atonement for everybody else that's in your life that you're ministering to. Everybody. And the point being is, let's be all honest with ourselves for a moment. We have 2020. In fact, what's better than 2020? 2010? We have 2010 vision. Bionic. Remember the $25 million man or whatever that was? We have $6 million man. We have bionic vision to see the problems of other people and their sins. But we are blind to our own. What's most interesting to me is that quite often the sin we see in others is the sin that's inside of ourselves. Oh, he talks about me all the time. What are you doing as a student? Oh, what are you doing to me right now? I'm talking about them. Oh. We will be no use to anybody in helping anyone through this journey we're going through unless we first examine ourselves and prepare ourselves and make our relationship right with Yahweh and look with more detail into our life and with less detail into other lives. Because that's how Yahweh is with us. I mean, you want to talk about bionic vision. Yahweh knows all that happens. Even on a microscopic scale. So that leads me up to my last two questions. What is the goal of incense and sacrifices? What is the goal of our relationship with Yahweh? To come closer. And what is the goal of getting closer to Yahweh? To help others come closer to Yahweh. To listen to Him. The specifics of what He is asking. A true servant goes, "What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? When do you want me to do it? I'm just happy to do it." Because when we have all those specifics, we know it'll bring pleasure. And what does Yahweh say to those that enters in reality to the kingdom? Come, my good and faithful servants. I started the entire day reading, you are a kingdom of priests. The earth is mine, but you are a treasure. But we must always remember the goal that has been given us. And know that we're not alone in this. Yahweh is going to be with us. But we do have a goal to always cleanse ourselves first so we can help others do the same. Baruch Hashem.